الحمد لله رب العالمين، صلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين، ما بعد. The eternal miracle. Dear brothers, the one who observes and reflects on the divine blessings will find that they are at various degrees and varieties. Some are more virtuous than others. They're not all equal. Some of them are closely related to the personal, individual benefit of the person. Some of them are necessary for survival, like food, drink, air, what have you. Some of them are necessary for the livelihood of that individual. And some of them come at a degree below that. And some even below that. Either way, the bounties and the blessings of Allah are numerous and abundant. And the one which is the most outstanding, the greatest, the most virtuous, the one which is unparalleled by any other blessing or virtue, has no competition and has superseded all of the rest and won the race, is the Quran. The blessing of the noble Quran. The noble Quran. The speech of our Lord Azza wa Jal. You all know this is the belief of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Al-Quran, Kalamullah, is the speech of Allah. غير مخلوق, it is uncreated. منزل, it is sent down. منه بدأ وإليه يعود, from Allah it began and to Him it shall return. We don't believe the Quran was created. It's the speech of Allah. And even in the Quran, وَإِنْ أَحَدُ مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ اسْتَجَارَكَ فَأَجِرْهُ حَتَّى يَسْمَعَ كَلَامَ اللَّهِ. And if one of the mushrikeen seeks protection from you, then provide him with protection حَتَّى until يَسْمَعَ, he hears كَلَامَ اللَّهِ, the speech of Allah. Allah called it كَلَامَ اللَّهِ in the Quran. Still you have some Muslims who say no, it's not the speech of Allah because Allah doesn't speak. وَالْعِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. Jibreel, Allah spoke the Quran. Everything you read, Allah spoke these words. Jibreel conveyed them from Allah to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to the Sahaba, and from the Sahaba to the Ummah. So let's rephrase it. It's the best speech brought through the best angel to the best messenger to the best Ummah. The best speech, the Quran, through the best angel, Jibreel, to the best messenger, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to the best ummah, the Muslims. كنت خير أمة أخرجت للناس. We are the best nation, best of the best of the best of the best is the Quran. And then after the Sahaba, it was accepted by the ummah generation after generation. And they are conveying it in trust and sincerity and perseverance. The young learns it from the old, and the student from the teacher. They learn it ayah per ayah, word per word, letter per letter. And they do this verbally. They do not add anything, nor do they delete. They do not distort the meaning, nor do they make mistakes, which people accept. Of course, when they make mistakes, they are corrected. And they do so, and they continue to share and circulate this Quran amongst them, just the same way it was first sent down upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, after 1400 some years. This Quran is then the greatest bounty which Allah has bestowed upon this ummah in particular, wherein He completed its religion. And in this Quran is the aqeedah, the creed which Allah is pleased with, and the legislation which Allah has chosen, the truthful news, and the clear, crystal clear rulings, and the honorable knowledge, and the statement of distinction and the judgment of fairness and justice, its recitation illuminates the hearts, and studying it increases intelligence, and using it as a natural or a spiritual remedy, ruqya, many people call it ruqayya, or ruqayya is a name of a woman. Okay, we need to fix our vocabulary. Ruqya is the actual act of divine remedy, using the Quran or a hadith, as in the dua, which we learned from the Prophet ﷺ, to heal someone. Allah is the one who heals, but to apply it on a sick person. Ruqiyya or ruqayya is something else. It's something else. So ruqya, it's the ruqya, which is means to cure the bodies by the will of Allah Azza wa Jal. It is the enormous treasure and the ever-flowing river. Those who recite it are never bored because of abundance of recitation. And if you read any other book after the third time, you just want to burn it. And those who listen are not bored either of listening over and over again to the recitation. And those who study it are never, they never feel that they've had enough of studying it. The Quran is the mu'jiza, the miracle of the Prophet ﷺ, the greatest one. And this is important for da'wah. This is important for da'wah. Because Musa, what was the mu'jiza of Musa? The stick. He split the ocean, it became a snake, a number of things. And during his time, the common thing amongst them, among the Fir'aun and the people, was magic. They were magicians. So Allah gave him a mu'jiza, which defeats what was commonly popular then. Now, don't worry about them. Don't worry about the movement of people. As again, I mentioned before. What was the miracle of Isa? What did Jesus do? He gave life to the dead by the will of Allah. He healed the leper. He healed the blind. And he was born miraculously without the interference of a man. At that time, the scholars say, medicine was the popular thing among the people. So he brought things that no doctor can do. And you could be a great doctor, but if someone died, khalas. You can't bring him back after people bury him. So Allah gave him a miracle which was relevant to his people, so no one will say he's not the messenger of Allah. Now at the time of the Prophet ﷺ, the Bedouin Arabs didn't have anything special. They were neither doctors or in the field of medicine, nor were they the most civilized people, nor did they really have magic popular among them. The only thing which made them distinguishable amongst the rest of the nation was their language. They were poets, they were authors, they were people that are uncomparable in their language because of the nature of the Arabic language and their skills. And they were known as being eloquent nation. This is known if you read the history. So Allah then gave the Prophet ﷺ a miracle which is relevant to what was popular among his people, and in it Allah challenged them to produce a surah like the Quran, and obviously all of them failed. That's one benefit. The second benefit is it's eternal. If you speak to an atheist now and you tell him, you know, Musa did this alayhi salatu salam and Isa did that, he will say to you, do you have it on video? Can you show me when Isa did what he did? You say, no, I there's no footage of that. There were no, you know, video cameras back then. He will say, you crazy. He can say that. An atheist doesn't care. He will say, how do you believe in something which you didn't see? You can't prove to him that this actually happened historically, even though you and I believe. But when Allah decided that the Prophet ﷺ would be the final messenger, no one will come after him. His miracle must exist after his absence. So no one will come and say, well, he didn't give me da'wah. Say, this is the Quran. This is his living miracle after his death. And Allah challenged you in it to meet some, you know, criterion. If you're unable to do it, then the hujjah has been established against you. You don't need to see him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is what Allah gave him that remains until today. So this was suitable to be given. So this is the value. I'm saying this so we can understand the value of this Quran. Why is it so special to the Muslims and to the mankind in general. Now, after Allah Azza wa Jal did this miracle, the everlasting, eternal miracle that will not perish as long as the day and night alternate, furthermore, Allah challenged the people of eloquence, old and new. And He said that it will not be able, they will not be able to bring something like the Quran. قُلْ لَأَنِ اجْتَمَعَتِ الْإِنسُ وَالْجِنُّ عَلَىٰ أَن يَأْتُوا بِمِثْلِ هَذَا الْقُرْآنِ لَا يَأْتُونَ بِمِثْلِهِ وَلَوْ كَانَ بَعْضُهُمْ لِبَعْضٍ ظَهِيرًا. Say, if the jinn and ins came together, they united upon a single mission to produce like this Quran, they will not be able to do so, even if they were aiders and supporters to one another. Zahira is like your back, from Zahar. Even if they were helping, well, you know, you back someone up, they were backing each other up to bring something like the Quran, they can't do it. They won't do it. And in Surah Al-Baqarah, وَإِنْ كُنْتُمْ فِي رَيْبٍ مِمَّا نَزَّلْنَا عَلَىٰ عَبْدِنَا فَأَتُوا بِسُورَةٍ مِّن مِثْلِهِ وَادْعُوا شُهَدَاءَكُمْ مِّن دُونِ اللَّهِ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ فَإِنْ لَمْ تَفْعَلُوا وَلَنْ تَفْعَلُوا. In the Surah Al-Baqarah, the challenge is the greatest, the peak. Because Allah challenged them in various stages. The peak of that is in Al-Baqarah. Say, if you are in doubt concerning that which we have sent down upon our slave, then produce a chapter the like thereof. And we said the smallest chapter is Al-Kawthar. 10 words. Then Allah said, and if you're unable to do it, and you will never be able to do it. So Allah gave us the final result. If you're unable to do it, that's in the beginning. Then right after, وَلَنْ لَنْ تَفْعَلُوا, you will never be able to do it. خلاص. Allah gave him a challenge and gave him the result of the challenge. And until today, we are living this result. None, they were not able to do it. And if the Quraishis were unable to do it, the people of eloquence were unable to do it, do you think someone is going to come today with the weakness of the Arabic language among the Arabs, let alone elsewhere? No way. If the best, the people who are most qualified failed to bring a surah like the Kawthar, don't ask about the people today or those who will come in the future. Because the language has been on the decrease. The fluency and the efficiency of the people, not the language is the same, has been on the decrease. So from where are they going to meet this challenge? Impossible. Impossible. Furthermore, Allah promised that this Quran will be preserved. Unlike the Torah and the Gospel of Jesus, the Quran is preserved. Inna nahnu nazzalna dhikra wa inna lahu lahafidhun. Verily, it is we who send down this reminder, and it is we who will protect it and preserve it. This is the Quran which we have in our hands. So, it will remain preserved. It will not be changed, and no falsehood can ever overtake it. Ummah of Muslims, this Quran has stood strong against many attempts of distortion and many attempts of false interpretation and ta'til and denying the actual meaning of the content. It stood against the attacks of trying to keep it away from the people or trying to delete it and get rid of it altogether. It has remained and it shall remain by the will of Allah Azza wa Jal. In the way you see it today, and the manner in which it was written, in the actual terminology, and in the meaning. And even the meaning. Because the tafsir of the ulama, alhamdulillah, are preserved. With that, it demolishes the foundations of the corrupt. And it puts an end to the false claims of the liars. And it makes them clear to the people, those who are ignorant. So this Quran shall remain as long as the ages go by, as means of guiding, as a teacher to those who are guided, and as a means of light for those who are traveling upon a path, and it will be a source of refuge for those who fear, and it will be a friend for those who do not find any friends. And it will remain as a sword for those who fight in the cause of Allah. And the fighting in the cause of Allah could be in the physical sense, as in warfare, and it could be with the pen. Da'wah is a form of jihad. And Allah said in the Quran, وَجَاهِدْهُمْ بِهِ jihadan kabira. And in this Quran, struggle against the kuffar tremendously. Jihadan kabira, with the Quran, with the news and the information and the teachings of the Quran. O believers, this ummah has agreed upon the obligation of memorizing the Quran, learning the Quran, and teaching the Quran. Considering the fact, or because of the fact, it's a fardu kifaya. Maybe you hear these terms a lot, we need to become familiar with them. There's fard ayn and fard kifaya. Fard kifaya is a communal obligation, meaning a community is responsible for it. If some individuals take up the task, let's say there's a community of 500 people, and memorizing the Quran and teaching it is fard kifaya. If 10 people take on the task of learning the Quran and teaching it, the rest are okay. Fard kifaya. Fard ayn, if they don't, back to fard kifaya. If all 500 abandon that, all of them are sinful. All of them are sinful. Fard ayn comes from ayn, individual responsibility. Meaning everyone has to carry it out on his own. And if anyone leaves it, he's sinful. Like salah, like siyam. It's fard ayn. You cannot say, well, five people will fast on behalf of the masjid in Ramadan. Because if some people say that siyam is fard kifaya, then five brothers will fast, everybody else eats. No. It becomes fard ayn. This is the difference. Now, here the Shaykh is speaking about fardu kifaya. if the ummah doesn't do it, the whole ummah will become sinful. So when we have shortcomings in memorizing the Quran and teaching it, we will fall into the greatest kind of betrayal. Religious, spiritual betrayal. So then it is compulsory on this ummah to come together and aid one another in learning this Quran and teaching it, because it's the responsibility of everyone. It is not the responsibility of a particular person from a particular nation. It is not national. The Quran is not national. It is the property, the guidance for the ummah. Everyone has a share. Everyone has a responsibility concerning the book of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Because it is a great act of worship, which involves all of the Muslims. Some in hearing, some in teaching, some in memorizing, and some in teaching others. And the one who is more qualified, and then doesn't do the obligation, he is more sinful. So if you have the qualifications, then there's something that you need to do. And the whole community will become sinful subsequently. Now, the Shaykh mentioned now some of the virtues of the Quran, which we learned from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Hadith in Bukhari, which all of you know, the best of you are those who learn the Quran and teach it. And it's very interesting that it says, خَيْرُكُمْ مَنْ تَعَلَّمَ الْقُرْآنَ خَيْرُكُمْ مَنْ حَفِظَ الْقُرْآنَ وَحَفَّظَهُ. It doesn't say the best of you are those who memorize the Quran and they make others memorize it. No. تَعَلَّمَ وَعَلَّمَهُ. He learned the Quran, which includes recitation and the meanings and everything related to the book of Allah. And teaching the recitation, tajweed and what have you, and the actual memorization and the meanings and acting upon it. All of these are included in the term ilm. تَعَلَّمْ وَعَلَّمَهُ. Otherwise, there's hifz. We have hifz in other occasions and other narrations. Because we're stuck on hifz today and we have abandoned the aspect of ilm illa man rahim Allah. So the Shaykh said, learn the book of Allah. Learning the book of Allah is better for you than this mundane, life, worldly life, which is about to perish and go away. What is that going to bring for you in the life to come? So people, you find them striving and making all kinds of effort to learn, knowledge or material pertaining to the dunya, so they can increase their life, their lifestyle, and enhance their lifestyle, increase their wealth. But they don't make an equal effort, or even lesser than that, or even no effort at all, to learn the book of Allah Azza wa Jal, which is the ultimate source of victory on Yawm al-Qiyamah. The Shaykh said, whoever doesn't take advantage shall regret that abundantly. He shall regret that later. And if we don't hold to the book of Allah, then we will deviate in our suluk, in our conduct, in our aqidah, in our ibadah. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to the Sahaba, I give you glad tidings. I give you glad tidings. Do you not bear witness that there is no God worthy of worship but Allah, and that I am the Messenger of Allah? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They said, yes. He said, verily this Quran, one part of it is with Allah and the other one is with you. Hold on to the part which is with you. You shall never go astray and you shall never be destroyed afterwards. The Shaykh said, brothers in Islam, what we see today of people deviating in the religion of Allah and going left and right and following every fake caller, and besides what they have received of misunderstandings, deviance, and lack of mannerism, wrong aqidah, all of this is because of their distance, the huge distance between them and the book of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So whoever makes this Quran his imam, then it shall lead him to Jannah. And whoever places it behind his back, it will lead him to the hellfire. The same Quran. Rather, Allah Azza wa Jal will raise those who are involved with learning the book of Allah in this dunya and in the life to come. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَرْفَعُ بِهَذَا الْكِتَابِ أَقْوَامًا وَيَضَعُ بِهِ آخَرِينَ. Allah shall raise with this book some people and He will degrade others with it. With the Quran someone will go up, and with the Quran someone will be sent down, depending on how they deal with the book of Allah Azza wa Jal. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had explained the distinction between the believer who recites the Quran and the believer who doesn't recite the Quran, even though both are believers. He said alayhi salatu wasalam, the example of the believer who recites the Quran is like a fruit, a kind of fruit which is sweet in smell, sweet in taste. And the example of the believer who doesn't read the Quran is like a date. It doesn't have any smell, but it tastes sweet. So because he's a believer, he still has sweetness. But the one who reads the Quran, it emanates a beautiful, sweet odor. The date, if you smell it, it really doesn't smell like anything. Unlike a fruit which smells, which has an emanating smell of sweetness. This is the example of the believer. The hadith is in Bukhari and Muslim. Furthermore, Allah had said about this Quran, or the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, verily Allah has special people to Allah. There are people who are special to Him. They said, who are they, O Messenger of Allah? He said, Ahlul Quran. The people of the Quran are the people who are special to Allah and those that are closest to Him. The people of the Quran. So the Shaykh went on to say, don't say to yourself, it's difficult. It's difficult. I cannot recite it properly. I cannot do the tajweed properly. He said, this is from the tricks of the shaitan. You make an effort and Allah will facilitate. Furthermore, until then, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Al-Mahiru bil-Quran, the one who is fluent with the Quran, ma'a safarat al-barara, he will be with the angels, the noble scribes. Safara, scribes. Barara from bir, righteous, the righteous angels. And the one who reads the Quran and he struggles with it, he stutters with it, he will have two rewards. So when you make an effort and you don't recite correctly, you will also be rewarded. In the same light, even though this hadith is speaking about the recitation, we want to have the same mentality about understanding the Quran. Don't think it's too difficult to understand the Quran. Get a book of tafsir, or the interpretation of the meaning in Urdu or whatever language one of us speaks, and read the meanings and the understanding of the Quran. And you will also be rewarded. Because you're trying to understand the book of Allah, and the one who understands and the one who doesn't understand are not equal. قُلْ هَلْ يَسْتَوِي الَّذِينَ يَعْلَمُونَ وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. So then, this is the reward of recitation. He said, the righteous predecessors had amazing relationship with the Quran. Some of them would finish it every day. That's against the Sunnah. You all know the hadith that you shouldn't recite the Quran in less than 3 days. That's the bottom line of it. And those who went against it, the ulama have interpretations for that. They said the ulama who did that, either that information didn't reach them, or it was an ijtihad. It was their own, they exerted their own skills and knowledge. But at the end of the day, the decisive answer is what the Prophet ﷺ said. If you read it before 3 days, you're not going to understand. You will not understand what the message is, because that's too quick. 114 surah is not light. 66 something thousand verses, that's not light. So not lesser than 3 days. That's the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is more beloved to us than the action of anyone else on this earth. And they had understood that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever recites a letter from the book of Allah, he will be given the reward, 10 rewards, 10 good deeds. I do not say alif lam mim as a single letter, but I say alif is a letter, lam is a letter, mim is a letter. And so that's 30 good deeds for saying alif lam mim. How about reading the whole Quran or a whole surah? How much reward is associated with that? That's a lot of reward from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whosoever recites 10 ayat at night, he will not be counted among the heedless, the ghafilin. And whosoever recites 100 ayah at night, he will be written among the qanitin, those who are constantly obedient, afwan, to Allah. Qunut, not qunut. Qunut is despair. Qunut as the dua you make, and also وَكُونُوا مَعَ الْقَانِتِينَ. What is the ayah? وَقُومُوا لِلْأَحْسَنَةِ وَقُومُوا لِلَّهِ قَانِتِينَ. حَافِظُوا عَلَى الصَّلَوَاتِ وَالصَّلَاةِ الْوُسْطَى وَقُومُوا لِلَّهِ قَانِتِينَ. Then stand before Allah in the state of humbleness and submissiveness. Qunut then with the ta is that state of being constantly obedient to Allah. Someone doesn't go left or right. If we recite 100 ayat at night, we will be written among those individuals. Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu used to say, the house shall be expanded upon its inhabitants, and the angels shall be present, and the shayateen will abandon it, and a lot of goodness will occur in the house where the Quran is being recited. On the other hand, the house shall become constricted upon its inhabitants, and the angels will desert it, and the shayateen will come, the house in which the Quran is not recited. He didn't mention the house where the music is being played and the soap opera is running around the clock and the TV is never shut off. If that was present during their times, then this will be a whole nother discussion. He's saying a house where the Quran is simply not recited, the angels will leave, the shayateen will come, and no goodness will happen in the house. Well, what about when not only the Quran is not being recited, the Quran of the Rahman, that is, the Quran of the Shaitan is playing 24/7. And don't think I'm bringing this from home. The ulama call music and singing Quran of Shaitan. It's the recitation that for the shayateen, for the devils. So be careful of this TV. MashaAllah, the dumpsters are big. Blue dumpsters and yellow dumpsters, they fit. I think the biggest TV screen can fit in the dumpster. And if you throw it away, you're a winner. You're a winner. But who has the courage to do so? Allah al-Musta'an. Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu used to say, whoever would like to know whether Allah loves him, then let him see. Does he love the Quran? If he loves the Quran, then he truly loves Allah and his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Shaykh now made a very important notification, Jazakallahu khairan. I was worried about that. When we are encouraging the recitation, this is not to be done on the expense of not understanding, reflecting, and acting upon it. We don't want to encourage mere recitation without adding to that, reflecting, understanding, and acting upon the Quran. One should not be concerned with khatm. Khatm, we did khatm today and khatm tomorrow. I had 3 khatma in the Quran. Some people are strange. They come to you out of nowhere. Say, brother, alhamdulillah, this is my 3rd khatma this Ramadan. Shahada. I don't want to know, Habibi. This is between you and Allah. Why are you telling me? This goes against ikhlas first. This is against sincerity. If you want people to praise you for the khatmat, then you're already on the wrong track. This is between you and Allah. You should not disclose this information to people. You should not share it with people unless you think by mentioning it to them, you are encouraging them to do good and you're sincere. You're doing it for the sake of Allah. Otherwise, it's a very sensitive line. Very fine line between ikhlas and showing off. That's one thing. Another thing, so what, you did 2 khatmat or 3 khatmat or even more? What did you understand from the Quran? And why do I not see the application of the Quran in your behavior, in your appearance, in your way of life? Why? Is it about how many khatmat? No. One ayah, which one of us understands, lives by, and you know applies, is far superior than someone who has the whole Quran memorized and he doesn't do any of the things that it says. Trust me. That's how the Sahaba used to be. They wouldn't go beyond 10 ayat until they learned the content and the knowledge and the rulings concerning them. Then they would apply them in their lives, then they will memorize another 10 ayat. That's why most of the Sahaba were not Huffaz. Most of them did not have the whole Quran memorized. Only a minority among them memorized the whole Quran. Because if they wouldn't want to memorize it, if they were not going to act upon it. We are the exact opposite today. My son is a hafiz, and he's the other one is a hafiz, and the other one's a hafiz. And his son, as soon as he finishes the Quran, he goes in his car, he puts the music on, and you know, puffing a cigarette with his buddies in the back seat. Almost, this is the hafiz, mashallah, tabarakallah. What an excellent hafiz he is. Hafiz of what? What is that going to benefit him or you on Yawm al-Qiyamah? Nothing. We have to get over these cultural things. These are cultural, not the way the Sahaba understood the deen. Be hafiz and act upon it. I'm not saying don't memorize the Quran. Please memorize the Quran. But let's bring a relation between both. In the second khutbah, the Shaykh said, among the most important things to engage in or to invest in upbringing our children is teaching them the book of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. The one which Allah Azza wa Jalla has made the exaltedness of this ummah conditional to their relationship with the Quran. We will not be honored except with the Quran. We will not be superior except with the Quran. We will not be mighty as an ummah except with the Quran. Allah Azza wa Jalla said, and verily it is dhikr for you and your people, and verily you shall be questioned. Now there's a number of interpretations for this ayah. The one the Shaykh referred to is that this Quran is means of honor for you and your people. It's means of honor. Dhikr here, meaning وَرَفَعْنَا لَكَ ذِكْرَكْ, and we exalted your mention, meaning the mention here and not necessarily the dhikr as we understand it in the usual definition. So then this Quran is a fakr for the believers. And it's a ni'mah which cannot be evaluated by the people no matter what. it is a dhikr for you. And which reminds you also of the goodness of this dunya and the life to come, and verily you should be questioned about it. Did you fulfill its right so you benefited from it? Or did you place it behind your back as the nations that preceded you did with their books? Did we do to the Quran what the people that came before us did to them? The Prophet ﷺ said, Al-Quranu hujjatun laka aw alayk. And this is the summary of what I've been mentioning earlier. This Quran is a hujjah, is a proof, is an evidence, is a support for you or against you. That's why I was mentioning earlier, acting, understanding. So you won't think I'm bringing this from mine. This is from the hadith. It's either evidence for you, or Allah, the Quran will say, he learned me, he acted upon me, or he will say, he learned me, but he didn't act upon me. It becomes a hujjah on you because you knew something and you didn't do it. Give you a quick worldly example. If you're a doctor and there was an emergency case in the emergency room and you're new, you don't have much experience. If you failed in treating this patient because of lack of experience, no one will blame you. You say, I didn't know. I've never had such a case. But if you knew and you said, nah, it's okay, let him die. Say, doctor, the man is dying. You know, I'm not in the mood. I know, but I'm not going to do anything. Or if you do it, but you don't do it professionally, and the patient dies, who will they blame? The one who knows is not like the one who doesn't know. The doctor who knows this knowledge on medicine is an evidence against you. You knew, but you didn't act. In the same light and even greater, we understand this relationship with the book of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Al-Hafiz al-Suyuti had said, teaching the young boys and girls of course, the Quran is a fundamental from the fundamentals of Islam. If they are brought up on this fitrah, the Quran will raise to their hearts with the lights of wisdom, otherwise desires will overtake them.
Yani if you fill it with the Quran, the children will find joy in the Quran. If you don't fill it with the Quran, the PlayStation will come in. The Nintendo will come in. The Xbox will come in. And when you try to bring the Quran to the picture, there's no room. You tell any child, no matter what he is, would you like to play for half an hour or recite the Quran? And 99% of the children will say, let me play some games. Because we did not fill in that gap. We filled it with junk. So now the junk has overtaken. Now try to take it out. Very difficult. So for those who have young kids, from now, the TV, the cartoon, these video games, keep them outside of your house, because once they take over, you become occupied in your own house. Military occupation in your own house. If you try to change it, all of the family will hate you. You see what I'm saying? Your children say, Dad, you're no good. You threw away the PlayStation, and you try to make him happy, he will never love you again, maybe. But you have to do it, even if this is the case. If you don't have it yet, please keep it out. Please keep these things out and fill the home with things which are pleasing to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So then the Shaykh said, have your child then join the halaqat of the Quran. So he will be upon blessings from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. You, O father, do you think you're losing anything by having your son join the tahfidh and learn the book of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala? And then he quoted some narrations concerning that. And I will skip one for religious reasons, inshallah ta'ala. The Shaykh went on to say some other narrations which are correct and sound, that this Quran will intercede for you before Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Meaning when you have your children memorize the Quran, you will be the one who's honored on Yawm al-Qiyamah. And you all know the Taj al-Waqar, the crown of veneration, the crown of honor, the crown of dignity will be placed on the parents or on the father's head because of their children's involvement with the book of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. The Shaykh said, can anyone afford to miss out on that? Yani if you're given the means and the chance to get this honor in the life to come, do you just forsake it? Do you leave it alone while the chance and the opportunity is available for you? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said another hadith, whoever recites the Quran wa amila bima fihi, and acts upon what is in it, he will make his parents wear the crown on Yawm al-Qiyamah, the light of which is better than the light of the sun. The light of that crown is superior to the light which comes from the sun. You can't even look at the sun. Fi buyuti dunya, in the homes of this life of this world. So what do you think about the one who acts upon it? The Prophet ﷺ said, what do you think will be the condition of the one who acts upon the Quran? It's even more superior to that. In another authentic narration, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the companion of the Quran, the one who used to have the Quran, will be brought on the day of resurrection. And the Quran will say, oh my Lord, adorn him, adorn him. So he will be clothed with the Taj al-Karama, with the crown of honor, of nobleness. Then he will say the Quran, oh my Lord, increase him. So then he will be given the garment of honor and karama. Then he will say, oh my Lord, be pleased with him. This is the Quran now, speaking on your behalf. Speaking on your behalf. Oh Allah, be pleased with him. So Allah will be pleased with this person. Then it will be said to him, recite and elevate. And you'll be given for every ayah a good deed. And the other narration, his degree in Jannah will be according to where he ends with his memorization of the book of Allah Azza wa Jal. So the Shaykh said, then be keen. May Allah protect you on teaching your children the Quran. And have them go to the halakat tahfidh. And he mentioned that they had stopped for some time and they were resumed. I don't know to what extent they were resumed. I understand they were resumed partially. We still have some sort of limitations here and there. However, if you find a place, a private teacher, anywhere, where you can involve your children in the Quran, in memorization of the Quran, look for other masajid. If it's been stopped in some masajid, other ones continue. Anyways, do not, you know, give up on trying, and do not miss out on this blessing and this reward from Allah Azza wa Jal.
Involve your children in the memorization of the Quran, the understanding of the Quran, and the learning of the Quran. And it would be wise if some of us said to ourselves, inshallah, this child of mine, I would like him to do whatever he needs of secular knowledge, but once he graduates, I will send him to Medina University. I will send him to Ummul Qura, so he can add to this memorization of the Quran, the knowledge of the deen, so he can benefit the ummah. Not all children have to be doctors and engineers. Someone has to go for the sake of Allah. Someone has to benefit the ummah, otherwise we're being stingy. We take from Allah everything and we don't give anything back. So these children are an investment. And the best investment is the one which revolves around the religious duties. The Book of Allah and the Sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. وآخر دعوان الحمد لله رب العالمين. A final reminder, this coming Monday, inshallah, at the International Medical Center, after Salatul Isha, I'm not sure it's going to be 8 or 8:15, a lecture titled Da'wah, It's Your Honor and Dignity. Speaking of honor and dignity, all of you are welcome to attend, men and women and children who don't make noise. Children who don't make noise. It's a public lecture, no registration, no fulus, no nothing. You come, sit down, listen, and go home afterwards. No one will harass you, inshallah ta'ala. This coming Monday, after Salatul Isha, at the International Medical Center in their auditorium. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.